I'm going to conclude with just a short thought from Rabbi Lam's book, The Shema, and I thank you so much for giving it a plug. I'm going to conclude with a short thought from him, and I really thank you for that share. That was wonderful. It was okay you went over time. Today was an exceptionally special day for you and for the family, and I don't think there could have been any better tribute than the one that you just gave. Let me share just a couple of words of Torah from Rabbi Lam on one of my a topic that is very dear to my heart. Switch the pin here, and that is of course tefillah, and Rabbi Lam's comments on tefillah, and particularly this not very well known work. I have to say that even though you mentioned, Ari, that it's one of your grandfather's favorite, if not his favorite book in English, it's not particularly well known, as far as I know, and it is a treasure. I encourage everyone to take the opportunity to read this book, although in my reflections on Rabbi Lam, I'll probably use it a lot, so it'll take away some of the thunder from Shiurim that I give. But let me just share with you one thought from this very, very powerful book. Rabbi Lam, in the book Shema, which was a course that he turned into a book, deals with every single word in the first paragraph of Shema, taking it apart, understanding, helping us understand the depth of what's there. And he begins with an analysis of who it is that we speak to when we say Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. We all know the phrase, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. When we say Shema Yisrael, who is it that we're speaking to? We're all exclaiming it. We say it out loud, maybe perhaps louder on Yom Kippur than on other days, but generally we say Shema out loud. Hear, O Israel. Who is that Israel? Rabbi Lam writes that indeed the affirmation of divine unity is not a private matter between one person and God alone. It is an affirmation by each individual Jew who, in declaring this faith, integrates into the Klal Yisrael, the community of Israel. On the one hand, what we do when we say Shema is we specifically refer to the community. We reach out to the community of Israel. But have you ever, when saying Shema, wondered exactly who it was that you were calling to? See, Shema is misunderstood as a prayer. Shema is not a prayer. Shema is a statement. Shema is a statement of who we are and what it is that we believe. We're not addressing our words to the Ribono Shel Olam per se. So then to whom are we addressing these words? The Zohar asks this question. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Haikra, this pasuk. Tinach bishata de amru benin de Yaakov vavuham. I understand that when the brothers, when the Shvatim are talking to their father, Yaakov, they are using his name. Seemed to be more common then. They call him Yisrael, right? The famous Gemara in Psachim, Vayikra Yaakov el Banav, Vayomer Heasfu Ve'agid Alachem, Bikesh Yaakov Legadot Levanav Ketz Hayamin. Yaakov wants to reveal to his children the end of days, and he loses his Ruach HaKodesh. He says, Shema Chas V'Shalom Yesh B'Mitasi, maybe it's because one of my children aren't up to speed. After all, my father had a Yishmael. My grandfather had a Yishmael. My father had an Esav. Say his children, Shema Yisrael. Hear Israel, our father. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Kishem she'ein belibcha ela echad, kachen belibenu ela echad. Just as in your heart there's only one God, so too in our heart there's only one God. When they're saying Shema Yisrael, they're saying, hear, O Israel, our Father. That one I get. So again, says the Zohar, Haikra tinach bishata de amru b'nin liyakov la'avuam. When the sons of Yaakov are speaking to their father and they're calling him by name and they say, hear, O Israel, our father, O Moshe li Israel. When the pasuk actually appears in the Chumash, it's it's Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know exactly how he did this, but Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to miraculously be able to speak to a huge number of people. He spoke to the Jewish people. He said, "Hear, O Israel, Aval Hashta, but today, Kule Alma Amri Shema Yisrael." Everybody says Shema Yisrael. We're not standing on a mountaintop exclaiming it out to the Jewish people. We're not at a conference with thousands of people saying, "Hear, O Israel." And we're not speaking to our father. Father's name is likely not Israel. What are we talking about? It's interesting because even though we have to turn to a Kabbalistic source like the Zohar, this is a question that we should have asked many, many times. There's so many things about our daily prayers that we just say, we don't think about, we don't ask the basic questions. The Zohar here asks a simple question. When I say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," to whom am I talking? Am I talking to the guy next to me? Am I screaming it so loud so everyone else at the minyan can hear? Says the Zohar something incredible. Elohat Tanina, we have the following tradition. Yaakov Avinu Lomes. On some level, whatever it means, Yaakov hasn't died. Ve'akadosh Baruch Hu Chasim Le Go Kurse Yakre. Akadosh Baruch Hu has attached him somehow onto a chair in Shemayim, a Kisei HaKavod. Le'mehave Tadir Sada Albanoi. Albanoi. Albanove, probably. That he should always be testifying on his children to Kamiach de Shmei de Israel, that they throughout history will continue to say that there's only one God, despite everything that's going on. The Kachazi b'choyom etrei zimni, as we see two times a day. The Kadinun Miach de Shmei de Kudshabrichu, when the Jewish people say Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Yaakov Avinu says, "Aha, you see," says the Zohar, when we say Shema Yisrael, we're not speaking to the Jewish people as a whole. We're speaking to Yaakov Avinu. We're speaking to Yaakov Avinu, who started a people with these words, whose children at the first challenge, as they were down in Mitzrayim, said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and one had to wonder whether the Jewish people could survive, as Ari spoke about so beautifully, all of those empires, whether they could outlast the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans. I understand you can hold on to your religion when you're still around Yaakov Avinu himself. Says the Zohar, well, Yaakov Avinu has never died. And the Jewish people, us, when we say Shema, we're actually referring to him. And he says, you see, my children are keeping the tradition. Rabbi Lam quoted this medrash in Devarim Rabbah, Amar Reb Levi, Uma Yisrael Omri Machshav, basically the same idea as the Zohar. What are the Jewish people saying? To whom are they calling? Shema Avinu Yisrael, listen, our father Israel. Could you imagine doing this when you're saying Shema the next time you say it, tonight, tomorrow morning? Tonight before you go to sleep, Shema Yisrael, I'm talking to Yaakov Avinu, our ancestor. Oso dov hadover shitzivisanu, the thing that you commanded us, noeg banu, we still attest to that. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. According to this midrash, our words repeated twice daily are addressed not to the general community, Klal Yisrael, but to our very personal, intimate forefather, Jacob Israel. In calling out to him across the chasm of the generations, we assure him and ourselves that the one God he worshipped is ours as well, that we continue his tradition, which he entrusted to his children, that we have not and will not falter as we strive to implement the kingdom of heaven in our own times and in our own places, that 3.5 millennia later, we will still carry aloft our grandfather's torch of Yichud Hashem, and that we pledge to continue to do so, even in an age of cynicism, confusion, and despair. Rabbeinu Yonah says this, perhaps in an even more striking way. Shema Yisrael, listen to the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. I try to think about this every day since I've seen this Rabbeinu Yonah. Every day, every time I say Shema. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Kolomar, Atah Avinu Yisrael Bama'ara. Wow. You are Father Israel in the cave. I'm screaming it out to Chevron. Shema she'anu mekavlim ol malchus shemayim aleinu. Hear that we are still doing this today. That we are still doing this today. Rabbi Soloveitchik said it beautifully. The creed of Shema goes back to the very origin of our history, to the dawn of our collective existence. The solemn declaration is perhaps the first truth which our great patriarchs discovered. It became their motto and dominant motif in life, not merely a theoretical truth, a philosophical pronouncement, a religious dogma, a norm, however central and endowed with meaning. It is a living decree which bears witness to our charismatic quality and which keeps us together as one, spanning almost the whole course of the ages, uniting us with the patriarchs. In a word, at the end of this paragraph, the reading of Shema is a dialogue between the ages, the continual restaging of that historic meeting of Jacob and his sons, pregnant with paradoxical destiny, full of import. We are who we are because we connect to those who made us who we are. The saying of Shema is connecting back to Yaakov Avinu and connecting back to our roots. In prayer, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, we experience the presence of God. We stand near and commune with him. In reading the Shema, by contrast, we enter the presence of those persons who walked with him. We stand in their shadow. We converse with men who, though they died a biological death, have been reincarnated time and again in our historical experience via divergent media and various forms of existence. The great drama of destiny begun by the patriarchs is reenacted again. Every time we say Shema, we don't simply put our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We establish that we are who we are because of certain individuals who helped shape our world. And by consistently going back to their words, to their memory, to their ideas, to their ideals and values, the things that were most important to them, we gain strength today to be able to go forward. That laughter that Ari spoke about so beautifully, it's not simply a disembodied laughter. It's the laughter of individuals who had a certain type of faith that we would succeed and we would make it through time. It's a laughter of those who understood that the Jewish people are going to survive. And it was that laughter, I think, that hope that we celebrate as we celebrate Rabbi Lamb's memory tonight. It was much more difficult to celebrate the memory in the two previous times or three previous times, the day of the death, the kvura, the shloshim, the first yortzeit. The lambs were, as Shalom pointed out, reinterred, brought as they so badly wanted to be able to brought to be able to be in Eretz Yisrael. The monument has gone up. A baby has been named for Rabbi Lamb now. And we can approach this yortzeit in a much different way, with a little bit of that laughter that Ari spoke about. Even as we're so close to the reinterment and the bris and to the matzeva, but we've already passed a certain time of mourning, and we've entered into a certain time where we look back with pride. We look back to the one who laughed and understood that our way of life, that the orthodoxy, which was not so clear in Rabbi Lamb's days. You read Rabbi Lamb's beautiful sermons from the Royal Reach in the 1960s. It was not at all clear that Rabbi Lam's way of life, that Rabbi Lam's beliefs were the ones that were going to win out. But he laughed, he hoped, he dreamed, he spoke, he wrote, he led, and he raised a lot of money. He did whatever had to be done in order that that dream should be able to be fulfilled. And on the second yard site, we can begin in a way I think that we couldn't do before to celebrate. Shalom spoke about the effort, which is led by suggested by Rabbi Berman and be led by a number, to bring together the colossal writings and thought of Rabbi Lam so that people can access it, that people can go back to it, because it's the Shema Yisrael. It's the going back and remembering those who helped guide us here that allow us to continue and to go into the future. The yard site, according to Kabbalistic tradition, is a time when the soul is a little bit reunited with those who are still here. There is a connection that exists during the first year. And after the first year, we are told that the soul rests comfortably in Shemayim. And we know, of course, that Rabbi Lam and Mrs. Lam are resting comfortably in Shemayim. But as we get to the yard site, which will be on Motzei Shavuos, there is another meeting. There is another dialogue. There's another connection that occurs every single year between those who have passed and those who are here, not just the family, but everyone who they touched and everyone for whose success they are responsible. Another historic meeting every year on the yard site. We wish the family continued simcha. We hope that you see much, much nachas from baby Nachum, from baby Norman. And may his memory continue to live on in so many ways as we look back to him at the same time as we look forward to the future. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. It is not easy to join on Erev Shavuos, but of course it is for a very, very good purpose and a very, very special neshama. We wish you all a Chag Sameach. We wish the family that they should have simchas that we can celebrate together here, and especially now as so many are heading to Eretz Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Have a good night and a good Yom Tov.